Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is sponsored by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 26, recorded on Monday, September 19th, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howler.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we're all together.
We're all together.
Oh, look,
this is not the only week that we'll be all together, right?
Next week, too?
I'll be here next week as well. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Doing my best to get up here more often.
That's rad.
Like Ron and Jason in 3D. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to Andrew and Sarah Spear, who sent me this book called My Little Geek.
Aww.
And it's a cute children's book that's very geeky. And guess what A is? A is for Android.
Of course.
That's what I wanted to show everybody. There's some really cute references through here. And mylittlegeek.com is where you can get... where you can get this book. There's even a little shout out to our friend Miss Veronica Belmont in here.
Really?
I love Veronica right there. That's for her.
The nerdist.
Yeah, it's so cute. So
cool.
I encourage people to get this. P is for pie.
Oh, it's adorable.
S is for superhero. Some people in a different OS might want to call A for Apple, but they put Android here for us. So that's why I wanted to show that up.
They know what's up.
Yeah, B for binary. I just like this. It's a really, really cute book. So thank you again to Andrew and Sarah Spear for sending it to me
so
we can show that off.
Yeah.
All right.
Just how geeks are invading the whole... Now that's children's books. That's awesome. We're taking over.
Totally taking over.
Hey, as if them playing with the iPad or the tablet device when they're like 7 months old
isn't enough.
All right. Well, this week we're going to be discussing ice cream sandwich rumors, a lot of them, Google Wallet, and three very different apps in the arena. We all have our own favorites that we're using right now. So I don't know who you're going to vote for.
Me.
But it'll be interesting. Well, we're going to put out our campaign. We're going to campaign this week. But you know what? We got a lot of news, including a really big one.
All righty. So kicking off the news. We talked about it earlier a couple of weeks on the show with Google Wallet coming out on Sprint and with the Nexus S and how we couldn't use it, things like that. So big news today. Now Google Wallet is unveiled, and there's a bunch of articles online with screenshots and seeing it in action. And I am so excited and so angry because I want to use it so badly and I can't. It looks so cool.
Yeah. I mean, basically you have to have the Sprint Nexus S 4G, which we have the Nexus S, but not the Sprint one.
The Sprint 4G one, which really is just marketing, if you ask me. But it looks really, really cool. And in fact, CNET has a great little kind of walkthrough of it actually being used in a convenience store where you can actually see what stores have it available. And then it shows you exactly how you can pull up the phone and access your card, swipe it, pay for things. It keeps track of your payments. It looks like a really cool design, a well-designed application.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything. We talk about how in Japan people just pay at vending machines for things, and this is the future. If you have Sprint,
have this one phone on one carrier,
here in the video you can see it playing, and it looks so cool.
And actually, you need a Citibank MasterCard right now. Now that'll change, but it's like smaller and smaller kind of pools of people that could actually use this right now. But the promise of this is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the idea. Like, I mean, I'm already at the point where I barely carry like $20 or more in cash. I'm using my debit card, my credit card for more. What debit card?
It's probably
try
me
not
too.
To use the credit cards. More and more. But the idea of not having to carry that and being able to just swipe the phone?
Yeah. Like, Google actually released a really cool commercial starring George Costanza. I think we have that here, Chad, in the next link. And it really relates to me because I relate to George, and I'll tell you why in just a sec. But I guess it's a real Seinfeld episode, and they just sort of superimpose. Oh, okay, you remember it. Yeah, it's towards the end, right?
Yeah, it was. It was one of the later episodes when George had this ridiculously large wallet, and it became a bit of a punchline throughout the whole episode. Now I can relate to that because I'm the same way. You know, you get a receipt, you put it in your wallet, that sort of thing. I don't know the video, but it definitely is a real thing in terms of that huge wallet. I mean, I have the butt pain, the sciatica, whatever from the wallet always in my back pocket.
We actually said butt pain.
Well,
on the show.
I didn't mean that one. You know what I meant? A little wonky, but yeah, no. So I mean, it's a legit. This is a game-changing application, if you ask me. I mean, it is, if it can roll out to the point where it works on any phone, any phone with an NFC chip, right?
Yes. Right.
It's very clear that's how it's working. So the near-field communication where the swiping and the limitations from the banks are lifted, and you can load any credit card or any sort of any sort of bank associated with it, and then the places that more and more places have the PayPass thing. Like I went to a convenience store in New York City. I was surprised. It looked kind of scummy, but it had the PayPass right there. So,
actually, CNET's Maggie Reardon, who did the 10 Things You Need to Know, she's in New York City. She went to a couple of places to try this out. The first place she went, she tried and tried and tried in line, and it just wasn't working. In fact, the cashier, basically said right at the top, like, yeah, you can try it, but most people don't have very good luck with it, and the people behind her were getting all impatient.
But that's the
next place she went to, it worked. Yeah. So I think the promise of this is really great. If everybody kind of gets on board and the kinks get worked out, which they will.
But that's the nature of it. I mean, do you remember back in the day when debit card and enter your PIN just rolled out to, like, Walgreens and stuff like that?
Right.
I remember being
some
stuck
of it
by
worked.
People who they're like, how do I do this? And like, I don't want to give you my PIN, and
totally.
Like now it's like debit card is completely it's a standard way of payment. It's like it's worked into Safeway or Stop and Shop, wherever you might go. They've got the pay yourself kind of kiosks, and you enter your PIN code and people know. So it's just the next step, and there's gonna be the moments where it's not working and people behind you grumble, especially if you're in New York City. They're gonna get impatient.
Do we have that video, Chad? Let's play it. George Costanza wallet.
That's a big wallet.
Yeah, it's a big
wallet. You're not carrying
that
around in your back pocket, are you?
No, I mean, it's in my purse, but I look at all the receipts I have that I need to, reconcile or just, file away or get rid of. I have all my cards and stuff. Yeah. At the same time, I've lost a phone already, so I'm already nervous about this stuff and putting all that information. I actually thought about how, we have a lot of people asking us about financial apps and things like that. I am actually not going to put any of that information on here because I'm worried about that. So I'm a little worried about the NFC stuff, but I mean, it's just one of those things where you just have to keep using it and be more mindful. Oh, and there's the audio.
And you've got to imagine that Google is aware of the security issues. There's a PIN implemented into the application, and they're all the levels. They're not gonna go at it foolheartedly, but but of course, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you're gonna lose your phone, if people really know what they're doing, they're gonna figure out how to. So you just gotta be careful.
Exactly.
But hey, if I can get rid of a couple cards in my wallet, I'm for it.
If I can get rid of this.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite the wallet.
it's too bulky. It's embarrassing, actually.
I wish I had known, I wouldn't have cleaned out the receipts out of my wallet. Because mine gets to be chunky.
I know. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. This is really chunky. Yeah.
All right. Well, so I guess moving on, Andy Rubin actually has a voice when he opens his mouth and talks. It's not
our guy.
Eileen. It's not Eileen.
It's not me.
I was shocked. I thought it was Eileen.
So he appeared on stage at Intel's Developer Forum last Tuesday to make an announcement. We might as well just go ahead and play the video of Andy on stage.
We're here to announce a continuation of the strategic alliance between the two companies. We're going to collaborate very closely to make sure that Android is optimized the best it possibly can be for the Intel architecture. Going forward, all future releases of Android will be optimized, you know, everywhere from the very low levels at the kernel, and taking advantage of memory management and all the great features of these low-power IA architecture, all the way up to multimedia, 3D graphics, you know, everything that's part of the system on a chip today.
And I just noticed myself, and someone mentioned in the chat room, he's wearing black, and he's got the blue jeans.
Oh yeah, I didn't.
Did
even,
you just notice that?
I didn't even realize that part. Well,
that was just a coincidence. But he wears that all the time now.
let's not focus on his posture or his physical appearance.
I don't know. A few people were, you know, the chat room loves to focus on that.
Let's not talk about his enormously long neck or.
Well, obviously, the big news here is that Intel's. You know, they're basically, Android is now going to be compatible with ARM as well as with the Intel kind of Atom platform. And I was just kind of thinking about it. I know that this means that Google is going to have to kind of code for Atom as well, the Android OS. The question that I had earlier, and I actually took it to Google Plus, was if that's the case on the operating system side, is there any reason to think that maybe developers would have to take that into consideration themselves?
Yeah.
And definitely Brian Gatley on Google Plus had this to say. He said, Android apps are written in pure Java and run on a Dalvik virtual machine. As long as they don't radically change the platform, I can't see this changing. Those virtual machines are kind of CPU independent. This is a whole world that I don't entirely understand.
Oh, yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, application development and infrastructure and things like it's on the responsibility, it's on Google's shoulders to make sure that the OS is optimized to work on whatever platform, whatever chipset that the devices are going on. This is, them committing to Intel as well as to ARM is great because that gives us more devices, as we've seen.
Sure.
We've seen so many more devices. I mean, it's similar if you go back, if you look at a lot of the development Microsoft has done with Windows, and you saw going up to 64-bit processors from the 32-bit. Like, it's just expanding the having the software work with the hardware in the best possible way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, the developers shouldn't have to accommodate for that. That's the OS.
Good.
Yeah, that's why they create the OS.
I was afraid when I read that about Google having to do that, because I was just like, man, if that's yet another thing that developers would have to kind of factor into the equation, that would make it a lot less ideal.
There's nothing to say that it's not another thing developers can blame when their apps don't work.
Yeah, that's
whether
true.
Or not it's accurate or not is another story. But
yeah. Excuse me. But
poor Jason's still getting over his cold from last week.
Yeah, still got a little bit of something. I would definitely say from everything that I was reading about, this is probably a bigger deal for Intel than it is necessarily for Google. Intel hasn't had a great track record on kind of breaking into the mobile front, and having Google as their ally in this is a really big deal for them.
And who knows what Intel's plans are? I mean, I haven't heard anything of Intel developing CPUs for mobile specifically, but tablets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would think that's probably a space Intel definitely wants to get into, more so than phones.
Yeah.
And especially with the promise that the Android operating system gives, it makes sense for them to, to invest in that. And Intel's a behemoth, makes sense. Like the dude from Intel said, every time they teamed up with Google, good things have happened. So,
totally. All right. Well, moving on to email. All right. This is from Carolyn, who says, greetings to all three wonderful hosts and to special guests, which not today. Carolyn, all the way from the other side of the globe, Singapore. I've been a loyal listener of AAA, love the show, and sometimes I catch a few episodes live from twit.tv during work. Anyways, I've been following each and every episode, but you guys haven't actually mentioned anything about apps on health and fitness. I've been trying to lose weight these few months and just want opinions from everyone about which app is the best to actually keep track on calorie intake and exercise done. So, hope you guys read my email, and guess what? We are. This actually, it's interesting. I actually went on a diet and I've lost 20 pounds since June.
Yay.
And I didn't really use an app, but I'm at this point where I need to maintain. So it'd be nice to really track my weight. And the way I've been tracking my weight, unfortunately, is just on a piece of paper, like a little notepad. And then it's right by my sink. And I write, today is in the morning, and I weigh myself. I know. Sad, right?
Sometimes that's easiest.
No,
though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Solution. If it's just right there, right at the place that you do it, bup, done.
And that's the thing that I need to really keep track of. And every day I walk 30 minutes, so that's my exercise and that kind of thing. But before actually I went on the diet, I actually looked up a few different apps, and one app is called MyFitnessPal.
Which I played with back when it first came out.
Yeah.
I feel like I reviewed it on App Judgment years ago, I think.
It's free, and basically track your weight. You have a diary. You know, input your goal for your weight. And in the diary section, you put in breakfast, lunch, dinner, and there's all pre-programmed meals in there already. And then there's cardiovascular strength, exercise notes, even water intake on here. Now, the other thing to note about here is that it's social. So if you want, you can have friends kind of like, you know, tell you, hey, you didn't log in. And look at me. I haven't logged in for several weeks now. The last time I logged in was May, right before I went on the actual diet. But I guess the whole point is this is a really cool tool for you, and there's many others in the App Store, but eventually they have graphs, and so if you really are good at checking your progress, you'll see this graph, and it'll record, you know, based on weight, measurements, that kind of thing. So it's just one app of many that's out there. Another good one that I've heard is called Lose It.
A lot of people really like that one.
Yeah. So it's up to you, but you have to maintain it. You have to go in there and actually input, which I am guilty of not doing. But I know there's plenty of apps out there that are very useful. That's one of them that I think is really good.
I mean, just like the diet itself, diet and exercise itself, it's only as good as what you put into it.
Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, so you can get the app. The app isn't going to make you lose weight.
Yeah.
You've still got to put in the time. You've got to watch what you eat, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the app could enhance it. It could make it more fun, could make it more, you know, a good reminder, a good way to keep track. I mean, a few years ago, this is back in the day, like early 2000s, a coworker and I were on a weight loss kick, and there was Fit Day, which I think is still around, was a website where it was basically a web app where we used to track what we ate and things like that. It was great. It was a tool. But then a couple years ago, I lost some weight and I just did it by running and not eating as much. You know,
yeah.
You use an app, you know.
It's so, all moderation,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah. So if an app helps you do it, then that's awesome. So,
yeah, great. And I went to Google Plus again earlier with this as well, just to see if anybody had any good recommendations for Android apps. I'm going to include the link to the links that we post on the page at twit.tv/AAA26. It will be the episode number. So go there and I'll have the link hanging out there. But I mean, there's just a ton of recommendations for different apps. Cardio Trainer Pro, MyFitnessPal, 100 Push-Ups seems to be a pretty popular one. Phil Nickinson, who was on the show, says Netflix and a couch. And six other people gave it a plus one. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Runkeeper's pretty big, too. That one's free.
And Demoto.
You use that, right?
I've used it in the past. If you're a runner, that's a great app.
Yeah, I'm not a runner, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of recommendations there. So hopefully that gives Carolyn and anyone else wondering the same thing enough ammo to get
fit. My personal tip?
Yeah.
Just don't have food in your house. That's what I've done. You look at my fridge.
Oh, you mean you go out to eat all the time?
No, I just
who needs
just,
food?
No, well, because my problem is that you're sitting there working through the day, and like sometimes you get that menu and you snack and think, you know, like when you're working late at night, and it's like, oh, I'll just go, you know. So I just don't buy food.
Sure.
I mean, I go out to eat. I have a sensible lunch. Have a good dinner, but you know, I just don't buy food at home.
Okay.
Crazy.
Okay.
Crazy man.
That's one of many ways to do it. You can find the Don't Find Food app in the Android market.
Yeah, it's really it's
under Ron Richards.
It's a great shopping list, and it's just nothing. It, like, it never, you can't add anything to the list. It's just
it also won't let you. It's like you've gone over your limit.
It's also a financial savings app as well, where you limit how much you spend at the store. This is a genius idea.
I think you're onto something.
There's your app. Go into App Adventure that's now at MIT, and then make it. There you go.
That should be an easy one to make too. All right, we might as well take a quick moment and thank our sponsor, Netflix, is sponsoring this episode of All About Android. It streams thousands of TV episodes and movies straight to your devices. There's a ton of devices that work with the Netflix live streaming app or rather instant streaming app. Mac, PC, iPad, iPhone, Android, tablets, Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, Roku. I mean, at this point, what device doesn't actually allow you to stream Netflix? I'm sure there are some, but not many. But you can go on there and you can just take a look. They've got a ton of movies, TV shows, documentaries. I probably watch documentaries more on instant streaming than anything.
There's
run out of good documentaries.
Good ones on there. Especially a lot of music ones. Uh-huh. Like a lot of, you know, like tour documentaries and things like that.
Totally. Tons of stuff. In fact, you know, you'll find a lot of documentaries from, you know, like National Geographic, like the TV channel. And it's just a lot of really cool stuff. stuff to watch. You can begin watching a movie on one device, and then you can move it to a different one if you so choose. You can watch it on the go at home, over your wireless network, or you know, just Wi-Fi at home. However you choose to do it, and you can watch these anytime and cancel anytime as well. So try Netflix today for 30 days for free. You can go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use this URL. That'll sign you up for the free trial. And again, that is netflix.com/twit. And yeah, check it out for 30 days for free.
Speaking of documentaries and eating healthy, there's a great documentary, Forks Over Knives, is new to Netflix now.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of that one.
Which is an interesting documentary about like taking a look at the medical advancements combined with commercial food and how they're both working against each other and leading to obesity and diabetes and things like that. So
nice.
All right.
I got a lot of good ratings.
Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm really flabbergasted on some of the suggestions sometimes that I get. I had no idea that there was a, if you can see this, Chad, there was a movie called Sherlock Holmes, The Eligible Bachelor. I've never heard of that, but it's a 1993.
Four stars.
An hour and 43 minutes. So I don't know. That was suggested because I like TV dramas. So they're suggesting Friday Night Lights, which did really well in the Emmys last night, and another show called Private.
Okay. Well, speaking of the suggestions, I love this in that it's suggesting to me new TV shows to watch instantly, including, you know, the Avengers cartoon and Spider-Man cartoons and SpongeBob SquarePants and Breaking Bad.
Well, yeah, you're just in between.
That's enough fun.
Fun for the whole family. There you go.
Yeah,
totally. After we watch SpongeBob, let's watch some Breaking Bad.
It is worth noting that Breaking Bad is on live or on instant streaming because Breaking Bad is just such a great show, and the show is winding down. On the network. Of course, you don't have this season on instant streaming, but you can get all caught up there. So netflix.com/twit. Check it out. 30 days free. And we thank Netflix for their support of Twit and of All About Android. Check it out if you haven't already. All right. Let's move on to hardware. Whew. All right, so this is probably going to take me about 25, 30 minutes. So
let's get comfortable.
Here we go.
Comfortable.
It's rumor palooza, everybody.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the world.
I feel like we need a screen for rumor palooza.
Rumor palooza.
Yeah, somebody work on that. We can add that. I kind of like that.
I'm the idea guy.
Rumor palooza. And I did actually put in here rumor palooza with a capital 4chan. And you'll see why
I
say that here in a second. But so basically, there have been a ton of rumors over the past week that have been coming out about a number of things. The Nexus Prime or, the Galaxy Nexus, as some are calling it.
Yep.
Ice cream sandwich, obviously, is right around the corner.
We're all more dying details for details. Yeah. Yep.
Galaxy S3, not 2, 3, wow. The next Galaxy S. Lots of interesting stuff coming out. So we might as well just kind of list off. I just figured this was a good time. We don't have to spend too much time on the nitty-gritty details, but just list off the crazy things that are out there. And then later, we can see how many of those things actually didn't happen.
This is going to make Jason so nervous he's never going to buy a phone.
No, I've decided. I'm buying a phone by the end of the year. No, I'm just kidding. I'm buying. I've decided I'm definitely going with the
ice cream sandwich, right?
With the Nexus Prime,
yeah,
or the HTC Vigor, which is now the Incredible HD. They're both coming out very very close time frames, supposedly. So I feel like I have the ability to make the decision between the two.
I vote for the Vigor, just purely by name.
Wow,
just by name.
Well,
but no,
it's incredible.
Yeah, no, but it'll always be the Vigor to me.
That's what it is to me. I can hardly talk.
I'm gonna start calling you Vigor.
Incredible HD. All right, so first of all, let's start with the Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus. So of these rumors, here's what we kind of have: Galaxy Nexus with ice cream sandwich headed to Verizon, possibly as soon as November 3rd, with a different version of the phone headed to other carriers a few weeks later.
Do we want to evaluate the rumor? I think that one sounds pretty solid.
That one sounds good.
That sounds similar to previous releases. Mm-hmm. I would give that a probable.
But this is also kind of saying Nexus actually coming to Verizon, where in the past there have been rumors saying, well, Droid. Nexus is going to everybody else, but Verizon's getting the same phone, but it's not going to be a Nexus. So
who knows? Droid, remember?
But I would love for Verizon to get a Nexus, obviously, and I think they deserve it. It only has a lock switch and a volume rocker, no home screen button as previously reported. Some had said that it would have that kind of Samsung, you know, home screen button, which doesn't kind of jive with the whole ice cream sandwich thing. Curved screen, 4.65-inch HD, that's 1280 by 720 display, 1 gig RAM, 16 gigs internal storage SD slot, super well, 8.8 millimeter thick, and possibly, this is a weird one, possibly a QWERTY slide-out keyboard. Is that kind of a curveball to you guys?
That's a little bit of a curveball. That one...
I don't support that.
you don't support it and you don't like it? Or?
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe to QWERTY Keyboard. Sorry.
That just doesn't seem right to me. It kind of seems like the promise of ice cream sandwich. And I realize buttons on a phone versus buttons on a keyboard are kind of two different things. But the promise of ice cream sandwich is no buttons. So if they're going to come out with a flagship device that is the flagship ice cream sandwich device, I just don't see them then throwing in all the buttons in the world in a slide-out keyboard.
To play devil's advocate for a moment?
Yeah.
Lots of people like their keyboards.
I know. That's the thing.
Lots of people don't like on-screen keyboards. Lots of people like physical typing. All those BlackBerry users, all those old smartphone users.
They're trying to still convert those people. Yep. I mean, it doesn't matter how much I say, ugh, I don't care for a keyboard. I always get a ton of people saying, no, I need the keyboard.
I used to be one of them. Remember when the Nexus One came out? Yeah. I was like, I like my slide-out keyboard. I want it. Yeah. I think that they don't want to turn their back on those sales.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something kind of fishy about
There'll
that.
There'll be two versions, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's what some people are saying. Yeah. That maybe they come out with two versions. Have we really seen that before?
I don't think we've ever seen two versions of a phone. Yeah. It's usually this phone has a keyboard and this phone doesn't.
Or they call it Galaxy Nexus. Galaxy Nexus 2, Galaxy Nexus Pro, that one has the keyboard for, the real hardcore pro, enterprise users, I guess.
No, I don't deny at all that people love their keyboards. I mean, I have a keyboard on this phone that shall go unnamed until we get to the arena.
That phone.
I never use it. I've used it a handful of times the entire time that I've had it. So I don't have a use necessarily for QWERTY, but I'm not knocking it. I know people love their slide-out keyboards.
Right.
So then let's jump to ice cream sandwich. Spend a little time in that murky water. Version 2.4.1 would be the Android OS version number, said to work like Gingerbread, but with a major facelift.
Mm-hmm.
Blues and purples instead of greens. That kind of makes sense with what we've seen in Honeycomb and stuff. Really glassy look, smoother menus, better animations. Better, that's, that mean
that's
a lot.
That's subjective.
Yeah, totally. Customizable app drawer with folders and full widget previews. So when you're dragging a widget onto your screen, you kind of get an idea of what the widget looks like before
As opposed to the mystery of when you drop it.
Right.
Like, Yeah.
And also all the Google apps, for the most part, had been redone to fit the new look.
Now, given the fact that all the Google apps have recently been redone regardless on the web, I give this one very probable. I believe similar to, I don't know if you've seen the recent Amazon.com homepage redesign.
I just saw it on someone's LA Times article. It looks clean. It's very tablet.
But very tablet friendly. And I think a lot of the Google app changes are they're getting all their ducks in a row, which I like. I like when you see the slow, building up towards something. And I think that this description of ice cream sandwich, I think, is very probable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, then let's move on to the Galaxy S3, which we've only just started to hear anything about. This is where it kind of gets like, is that a unicorn that I'm hearing all about? Okay. So first of all, possible unveiling at Mobile World Congress 2012. Don't know exactly when that is, but I'm
that's
guessing,
February.
Is that
February? Oh, yeah.
That's early.
I'm campaigning to go.
Okay.
I want to go because it's in Barcelona.
Let's do it.
In Barcelona, and they have all the Android stuff there.
Okay, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
I was going to say it the right way.
Yeah. Okay, so here are the unicorn specs at this point. 2 gigahertz, 1.5 gigabyte RAM. I guess I don't know if that's dual core or single core. 32 gigs internal SD card. 4.65 inch.
A little too big.
Super AMOLED 3 display at 352 pixels per inch, which sounds like a lot, but I don't know if I've ever heard measured like that personally. 10 megapixel camera with 1080p 60 frame per second video, near field communication, NFC, so this would work with Google Wallet, and of course ice cream sandwich.
You all know I'm going to want this phone next year.
This is the phone that I want.
This is a hot phone.
But I don't want 4.65.
That's pretty
That's big. 4.3 is big enough for me in my hand.
4.65 is enormous. That's practically a tablet.
I'd have to hold it like that. I'm already having a hard time kind of every once in a while reaching over with my thumb to do things. So that's the only thing I don't like. I love everything else about what it sounds like that phone's going to be, but I want a smaller version.
Okay,
please.
So let's add on top of that, because I saw about 10 people in the chat room all say quad, as in quad core, as in four cores, as in whoa, unicorn.
I want it.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's a good phone, man.
Give me 4.
Oh, it's a great phone if that is, in fact, what it ends up being.
You notice that for some reason there's all these Android phones, they keep pushing the screen size.
Yeah, I don't want it bigger. I don't want it bigger.
At some point, they hit a point to where people don't want it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think 4.65 is the most you can go.
Yeah.
Everything over 5 inches, like I said, is practically a tablet.
Yeah.
If you look at the 7-inch tablets, that's 2 inches off, you know?
Totally.
I agree. Yeah. What was the Note? The Note was, the Samsung Note was five and change or something. But anyways, I want that phone.
So I should just reiterate, this is all pieced together. Yep. The number of leaks throughout the past week. Some of this is lifted from an anonymous tipster at 4chan. But here's the thing about that.
We love 4chan.
Okay, 4chan's great.
Fantastic.
Anonymous tipster at 4chan, you kind of like, you hear that and you're like, okay, well, anonymous anybody at any, you know, at any bulletin board could say really anything. But what kind of piqued my interest about it was the level of kind of detail.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, it's going to have this, whatever, this. Like it... Now, granted, it could have been crafted that way, and that's why I say this is all speculation or rumor.
Right.
We'll see how much of this actually happens when things are unveiled.
Why is everybody talking about a poem?
Oh, because there was a Twitter. Okay, so there was.
I got to hear this poem, and they want you to read this poem way, right?
All right.
You got to read the poem. Oh, there's.
Should we do a little dramatic reading of the poem?
Yes, go, Jason.
Okay, let me pull it up here because I can't see it on the screen.
The Nexus Prime poem. Oh,
so this is a poem from TFLE Ming 223 on Twitter. Supposedly, I believe, part of the Android community, but has been right on things in the past. I'm not really quite sure.
Has a track record?
There is a track record behind this. All otherwise, right. Why would anyone care? While things that go bump in the night surely give you a fright, it's all in good fun as I share treats and panda fun. Panda's this name that keeps coming up behind these sources that ends up kind of a lot of times being true.
Oh.
So instead of filling your belly with candies, jellies, and other Hallows Eve fare, perhaps your palate will cast a ballot for an ice cream sandwich instead. With an internal date now set and LTE a sure bet, those that get Tim Cook's new pet will be filled with green-eyed regret. But wait, you cry. Some people are totally fast-forwarding right now. But wait, you cry, for what date can you buy? This, the panda did shall share. That's weird. For on the date Bruce Wayne's true father did die, you shall in fact be able to buy in stores of red and black. But those who pay other masters don't fret over exclusive deals and bets, for in many other favors you will get your treat, be they GSM or WiMAX radios inside, the Nexus brand will ride worldwide. But as he lays in the corner with a beer and a... the panda said with a sigh, be it a Droid or Nexus-branded new toy with dual cores, HD screens, fancy new widgets, and more, the one with the keyboard is what I enjoy.
After all of that, the one with the keyboard.
That was a lot of effort.
Thank you for reading.
Sorry to those who had to fast forward.
It was your reading was fantastic.
No,
I think the effort
was
in the writing of it.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That wasn't planned.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
let's get out of rumor territory
this is kind of still rumor. I guess there has been a possible 7-inch Motorola Android tablet caught on film. And let's see, we've got some pictures from it. This is my next. Possibly caught some pictures of a 7-inch Motorola tablet in the wild. Ooh. What do we think?
I like it. It looks very thin, but
it does look really thin.
Yeah, but kind of has sharpish edges. I don't know. There's something about it that I like. It says here that it's kind of reminiscent of the Photon 4G, and there was what was it? Wow. It was probably like. Back in February, Sandy Ja had mentioned a line of Motorola tablets. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is kind of the beginning of that line.
I'm more concerned about how precariously on the edge it is. Like, that's a prototype.
Don't let that thing fall, please.
Come on, guys.
Be careful. Anyways, rumor.
And look at that. It's right on the edge.
It's, so well, it's, a, lot, it's a lot white better edging? Looking than the Zoom, from what yeah. we can see. Mm.
But you got to admit, sometimes a lot of these products on their development, they go
they
through,
change.
Especially bezel changes a lot of the times.
So, yeah,
you
totally.
Know, so they what you might see in a stolen photo of a work, somebody's workbench at Motorola might not be what ends up on the shelf.
Kind of looks like it has a curve to it. Is
yeah,
that
it
just
does.
A little bit? Yeah. Like a Nexus S-style curve or something?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, a little more hard facts.
Yes. You know, in yeah, terms we're of, out of rumors.
We're out of the rumors. A little they more exist, actual yeah. products that exist. Some video was posted with an in-depth look at the HTC Jetstream tablet on AT&T. This is the HTC tablet. That's a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon CPU with 1 gig of RAM, 32 gig internal storage, a front video chat camera, rear 8-pixel autofocus camera with dual LED flash, GPS, 3G and 4G with HSPA Plus and LTE, and a micro SD card slot. That's a pretty jam-packed tablet.
But it's also $699.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of stuff in there. you pay for the things you get.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, this has been out now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The reason it kind of piqued my interest is I really like HTC hardware on the phones.
So I
had to imagine that the tablet would be kind of a force to be reckoned with, but that's just too expensive for this kind of tablet.
I think it's way too expensive. I think they priced themselves out.
Well, the question is whether or not they're going to offer a Wi-Fi only version.
Right.
Yeah. Like there are all these kind of variations. This looks to be like the top of this has got everything in it. Is there a scale down $499 model? Is there a scale down $399 model? You know, so
what's the weight on that thing? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
Okay. I'm just wondering how heavy it is. If it's heavy at all, or if it's just feather light.
It does not say.
It looks great. I mean, obviously HTC has great hardware. There's so many tablets out there, Android tablets, $699.
The rumors are it is starting to appear at some select AT&T stores.
Okay.
So if you want to stop in an AT&T store, you can sample it yourself. Just test the way
I will. Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
Okay, moving on to email. All right, this is from Richard, who asked us, what do you guys think about the Grid 10 tablet? It seems like a good deal. They've bumped the price down to $299. Originally, it was like $649.
$299 is a good price.
It is a good price, as I'm bitching about the other price here. And seems pretty innovative compared to the rest of the Android crowd. I think it would even do pretty well if it was sitting in a store right next to an iPad. Opinions? Thoughts? I gotta say, we should have a link to this in our show notes, but the presentation that was given from the guys at Fusion Garage, and we're showing some video if you're watching the video feed of our show right now. You sign in with a signature, and then when you that unlocks the tablet, and then you see everything's on a grid, and you move it, so it's not pages, and you can move things, and you can kind of collapse things,
group things
in groups. Yes. Yeah, they call it something else. I don't call it a group. They call it it starts with a C. I can't remember. But
it's an interesting UI.
They have their own, it's called the Grid OS. They're going to launch their own store. I mean, this was in August that they released this, and they had this sort of like fake audience kind of canned applause, sound effects while these people were doing their presentations. It's interesting.
Isn't Fusion Garage the people that were caught up in the whole TechCrunch debacle?
That is...
Before there were TechCrunch debacles.
Yes.
Like the OG TechCrunch debacle.
That is...
With the Juju pad, right? Wasn't that
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that is the one. That is them.
Yep.
I haven't held
one. It's like a video game to me than it does like an operating system.
Well, they've got all the apps on the square grids, and then you can place the apps anywhere you want, and you collate them together.
It reminds me of it's very Microsoft-y.
Yeah, it kind of has
Microsoft's
a little bit of
new Windows
that tile
phone.
Approach to
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
It's neat. You know, $299, it's a good price point. I don't know if it stands up on its own against the iPad.
That's the thing.
Or even a top, Android tablet,
I mean, they were boasting like, oh, look, we have all of the marketplaces. We have the Android marketplace. We have the Amazon marketplace. We're going to have it all. And then they're going to have their own store. Sounds like they're going to be.
But I have all the marketplaces, too.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they kept saying, you don't get those, on your tablet, built in. But we'll have it.
I have it on my tablet. I was going to start selling my tablets. I'm just going to buy tablets and install the Amazon App Store and then resell it.
I mean, there's just, they have.
If that adds value.
I know.
There you go.
This is like, it's like talking about like perceived value.
I know.
It's like, we've installed the app for you.
I give them props because this is definitely. A different overlay
a different look,
from anything that I've seen before.
And that's the point, right?
It doesn't look like my my version,
your version
of Android, though. You know what I mean? It kind of, well, and obviously playing with it is different than
that's
just
one of the reasons why I think I like it, is because I think it's challenging the perception of what is a tablet, and if it's a unique approach to the UI, and that gives them a bit of an identity. Whereas the other one of the things we've criticized the other tablets is that they all kind of they're all very similar. They lack any, you know, and so if they've taken Android and modded it in some way to make it a unique product. And again, $299.
That's really cheap.
Yeah,
it ends up being a double-edged sword, doesn't it? Yeah. Like we want them to differentiate themselves other than hardware, but when they do and they go this far with the OS, then people are like scratching their heads trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So they lose probably a good amount of market, you know, kind of presence because of that very fact, because it's not familiar to people.
But the perceived value alone, anybody in the San Francisco Bay Area, I will, for $50, install the Amazon App Store on a tablet. But still. But good for them for spending. You know, that's marketing.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Let's keep this train rolling. Let's go to the app section. Speaking of
app stores, when the Amazon App Store came out, a lot of people were kind of complaining that it was only U.S. only. Very quietly recently, Amazon has rolled the Amazon App Store out internationally. It is now available in the U.K., Germany, Denmark, Spain, Australia, India, and Holland. So all of our friends not in the U.S. can go start buying apps via Amazon on their Android devices. A lot of speculation as to why they did it. There was some initial, like, maybe it was an oops, maybe they didn't mean to do this, or the speculation was that maybe this is queuing things up for the impending Amazon tablet release, which is that's the one I subscribe to. I think that's more similar to Google adapting their application, similar to Amazon adapting their homepage to be more tablet based. Now they're getting the App Store to be up and running internationally, so that's one less obstacle when the tablet does come out and we see it dominate the world.
Okay.
Prices still appear.
I think
US
that might happen.
Dollars.
I'm going to get an Amazon tablet, actually. So don't fail me, Amazon.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. Well, ice cream sandwich. We talked a little bit about it already.
Some more. Yeah, I feel like now I want.
I really want some ice cream now.
I'm going to go get some ice cream after this. Jeez.
By the way, there have been many times, like my wife and I, when we go shopping, we either get, you know, a thing of ice cream or we get a box of ice cream sandwiches.
Really?
Anytime we have ice cream sandwiches, like it'll be at nighttime, we're just watching TV, and she'll be like, "You want an ice cream sandwich?" It always throws me off. I hear her say that, and I'm like, "Oh, an ice cream sandwich. Yes, I would love it."
You're like, "Actually, I do want it, but
how do you know about ice cream sandwich?"
That said, though, let's not underscore the greatness of the ice cream sandwich as the American summer treat. So I commend you and your wife for enjoying a good old-fashioned ice cream sandwich.
They're delicious. Yeah, they're so good. Supposedly this would be delicious, too, but I guess it remains to be seen. But developers should head over to the Android developers blog from Google. Details around making your apps ice cream sandwich friendly are spelled out in some detail there. The blog post lets devs know how you can get started with the ice cream sandwich SDK once it arrives. If this type of info is hitting the web now, and with the rumors swirling around ice cream sandwich at a breakneck pace, I kind of imagine that, you know, we're going to be seeing it very soon. Everything seems to be pointing in that direction, but this just kind of adds to that. Google themselves are getting you ready, therefore we're going to see it really soon. So,
hooray!
Devs, take a look.
It's coming.
Yep.
Okay, before we head into the arena, I just have one app suggestion for the TV fall season is about to start pretty soon. You know, starting tonight, really.
Very excited.
Are you very excited?
It started last week, actually. A couple shows.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
did you watch Ringer, the new Buffalo?
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
I actually kind of liked it.
Writer on that show. Yeah, it's actually really
It's actually
good.
Not yeah. bad, yeah. So I like to use an app called GetGlue, but I'm trying out a new app. And GetGlue is a social media app where you check into TV shows and then you have, you know, conversations with that app, and I really like that app. But there's also another app that's out there, and it's free in the marketplace. Yahoo just bought them, called Into Now. And basically what it is, it's sort of Shazam for TV.
I'm very curious about this.
All right, so on my phone, you could see the widget. And it's a really nice widget here, and it shows you what I last tagged. And the last show that I watched was last night, Breaking Bad, season 4, episode 10. That will launch the app. And in the right-hand corner, you will see a little green button, and it looks like a little TV. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play this episode. I have not tried it. Now, I usually, when I'm watching a television show, I will just hold my phone up in the air and, you know, let it identify it a la Shazam. And I can tell you, guarantee you, it has worked every single time.
So wait, so we understand. So
yeah.
You're watching something on your couch.
Yep. Doesn't matter what, where,
doesn't matter what,
when in the show
whatever
is.
Whatever it is, and you just press the green button, hold up the phone.
And it takes about 20, 30 seconds, and then it recognizes it, and then it'll and say, it'll tell you, this is the episode you're watching with a little description.
So cool.
And
wow.
It gets it right every single time. Now,
so cool.
I'm doing a little demo with, I know.
I knew it existed with music.
Right.
Right,
I didn't
with
know
TV,
about
shows.
TV shows.
Now, I usually wait, so if they say last time on Dexter or something like that.
Trying to make it fail.
No, I don't make it fail. I wait till that's over. I wait till like the beginning of the actual episode for it, and it, yeah. I swear, it has always worked. Now, the demo that I'm about to do now
totally
is with, I purchased an old episode of Community, so I'm going to try and run this. See, now what I'm worried.
You didn't say it correctly. Community, the best show on television.
Sorry. I don't know about that. I reserve that for Breaking Bad.
The best comedy on television, yeah. No matter what the Emmy said.
I don't know. Breaking
really
Bad's
like
pretty
Modern
hilarious.
Family. Oh. Okay, so here's an episode of Community that I'm going to run. And my fear here is that the audio doesn't hear it. So what I'm going to do, and you're doing,
it, too.
Debate 109. So basically, that's how long it took. I don't know how long.
Whoa.
Look at Debate 109, and that is exactly the episode that I'm running on my laptop right now. Season Community,
cool.
Season 1, Episode 9, Debate 109.
Wow. I'm impressed.
And okay, so besides just the recognition there, then you could discuss. So you could have a little, look, nobody's discussed this episode, so I can go in there and be the first one to say, love this episode. And then you can have friends. But the technology itself, I mean, yeah, they've got a little bit of social aspect in here, but the technology itself is pretty freaking awesome. So you could chat. I've got a ton of friends here. You could share what you just watched on Twitter or Facebook. And let me see. And you can see your friend streams here. So I basically friend everybody. I'm Eileen TV on IntoNow, so feel free to friend me. But you could see everybody, your friends, what they're watching, and you could see what's popular. They even suggest stuff online. It's
so
pretty
now,
cool.
So now, aside from the wow factor,
mm-hmm.
what is the use case for this? So it's a way to share with people what you're watching.
Exactly.
Without having to look it up and check in and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, because it's not like, it's Shazam for me is the, I'm in a bar, oh, I love this song,
right.
What is it?
Yeah,
you know,
what am I going to do later? I want to buy this
exactly.
later.
I watch a lot of TV, admittedly so. And so what I do, and I mentioned the other app, Get Glue, which I use quite a bit. It's actually on my home screen.
Never really checked that out.
So here's Get Glue. Let me show you that. And what I like about it is that I see a stream. I see all my friends on here. Let's see if I can get to the stream. It's been acting kind of wonky lately. You could check into a show, a movie, sports, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times I'll have discussions with people on here because they'll send me messages saying, hey, wow, did you really like that movie? Did you really like that show? And then mm-hmm. we'll just talk online and within the app. I like that. It's just kind of a nice conversation piece, I think. If you watch a lot of TV.
But Into Now is essentially
it's trying to do the
with
same
the scanning.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job, Yahoo. Good acquisition.
Yeah, they bought this little company.
I mean, once you bring the scanning into the equation, it's almost like, why don't you have that Get Glue? Like, that's really, really cool.
Yeah,
that technology is that some of that technology. I mean, like a lot of the audio detection and image recognition stuff, like the Facebook, you know, the face mm-hmm. tagging stuff like that. A lot of that technology came out of like military R&D
mm-hmm.
stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is really, and it's fascinating to see it now get applied to consumer use. Oh, mm-hmm. it's amazing. So, yeah.
So anyways, that's my little tip for the week. Oh, thank you for friending me. I will friend you back.
Hey, I signed up via Facebook, and so it automatically posted my wall. Like, I'm using it to now, so I'm like, remove post.
I don't like that one.
Yeah, I don't like it when it does that.
Yeah. But hey, it makes it easier to use, so that's for sure.
That's true.
There you go.
I'm fine with that.
All right, well, that's pretty cool. Speaking of cool apps, we might as well jump into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
Okay, so last week we had a jam-packed episode.
We did, with all the browsers.
I haven't even checked the poll yet.
I haven't either. Here we go.
Well, okay, so Dolphin HD, Dolphin Browser HD. Yeah, I mean, you kind of.
Dang you, Hal.
It was the big daddy. A lot of people use Dolphin Browser HD. 197 votes, 54% of the votes. Let's see here. You know, Firefox and Stock were close, kind of like battling for second place. But I think it looks like Stock won out at 21%, Firefox at 20%, Mirin Browser. Or Myron, whatever it is, 4%.
Right.
Skyfire.
It doesn't matter. It lost anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
quite a bit further behind.
I will say that I'm still very impressed with Firefox now.
Yeah.
And I believe it's available on tablets. Have you tried it on the Zoom yet?
I have not tried
okay.
it.
Okay.
I think
it's
it is.
Available now.
Yeah.
So it's just worth it to note that it's always right after the episode, your app gets updated for something,
exactly.
Whether it's
that
given more phones or optimized for tablets.
I can tell you right now whether it works on a tablet or not.
Well, yeah, it actually looks like 4 days ago, Firefox build for Honeycomb tablets available for download.
There you go. Yeah, Zoom. There it is. I would like just to give a quick shout out to my peeps in Illinois and Michigan, South Carolina, and Missouri. Rocking hard with the Firefox. Thank you, guys. I feel like it's like the presidential. It's like
Once again, Brazil is on my side. Looks like Spain, too. Thank you. I love Spain.
I got Idaho.
Congress.
That's what I really care about.
Idaho is the decisive vote. That's what
we got.
I got
my home. Yeah. All right, I got Idaho. I love you, Idaho. I love you.
All right. Three votes from Idaho, by the way.
What's
three,
that?
Three votes for Dolphin from Idaho.
Well, you know.
Enough.
I fought for all three of
and
those
specifically,
votes.
Specifically, those votes came from within Idaho, the township of Ada. And
Ada, Canyon, Ada County.
And Canyon County.
And Canyon County. Okay.
Yeah. So there
all right,
you go.
Cool.
Ada, is that pronounced?
Ada. That's right.
If you're watching in Ada County.
Wow, you got all of Russia.
Hey. In Russia.
I knew you were going to get Russia.
And India loves you too.
Right.
It looks like Egypt. Sorry. All right,
I know. It's a little too fun to like pick apart the world map and
know,
see
it's too much
who
fun.
Won what. This week, we decided to do another grab bag. We're kind of testing this out. We want to maybe switch it up a little bit more and do more of the grab bags and less of the full topics so that you guys don't get bored of the same features on three different apps for
minutes. The theme episode. Mm-hmm. Make the themes more special.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to see if this is kind of the better way to go, which means that we have three completely different apps in the arena. So I'll go ahead and start off with mine. Before we get into mine, if you take my my device there, you'll notice that I have a new phone. I have a brand new.
He's been hiding. You've been ashamed of that phone all episode.
It's got that like distressed vintage look.
Yes,
I like what they've done to
totally.
It. You know, like it's like very. Did you get an Urban Outfitters or where
yes.
did you get that?
It's retro hipster, man. This is a hipster phone now. Come on.
What do you think? It's called the Motorola Droid, and I'll show you what
the
it
Motorola
does.
Droid.
What it does, you could slide out. The cord.
Look at that.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty sweet, huh?
Is that gold?
All right, so I'll just go ahead and make the announcement right now. This weekend was the time that I went ahead and made the transition to Stacy, my wife. She now has the Thunderbolt. I cleaned it up. I cleared it off and gave it to her.
You were the good husband.
Not quite stock, but close to stock.
Yeah.
And I ended up back with the Motorola Droid. She just couldn't wait any longer, and I totally understand. 3 months was a long time. I told her I was going to wait for the Bionic. Bionic came out, and she came on one day, and she was like, ooh, I saw Bionic's out. It's out. When are we going to do the trade? I'm like, we're going to do the trade this weekend, but I'm not getting the Bionic. So anyway, so I made the switch.
Wow.
Did you tell her about the Vigor?
What's that?
Did you tell her about the Vigor?
Yeah, I told her.
Tell her about the Vigor.
Well, I told her about the upcoming phones. I don't want to make her too jealous of the phone that I might
get. That's true.
But anyway, so she's on Thunderbolt. So other than the device that it's on, I'll hope to show you this app and have my phone not crash in the middle of it. should be kind of interesting. So the app that I chose, you can actually get in the Android market. You cannot find this in the Android market. It's extracted from a ROM. So I guess I should preface this by saying that this is kind of more for root users than it is for anybody else. I don't think that it works on an unrooted phone. Haven't tested it myself, but I don't think that it does. MIUI or MIUI or MIUI.
I think it's MIUI.
Not really quite sure what it is.
I think it's MIUI.
But that it's basically a type. So like CyanogenMod is one type of a rooted OS. MIUI or MIUI is another one. And they have a really cool camera app that you can that they've extracted out into an APK that you can install on your phone. And I believe you can only install it on a rooted phone. It's free. I will have the link in the show notes. It's on xdadevelopers.com. And the reason that I like it and the reason that I've been using it is because it got me as close to the HTC camera that I actually really enjoyed using versus any camera app that I've used on my phone. And I mean, granted, on my Motorola Droid, it's not the fastest thing in the world because my Droid is just slow.
But nothing is.
Yeah, nothing is, exactly. But you can kind of see it's a pretty straightforward layout. You've got your kind of your exposure on one side.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I like that.
You know, I just really like how things are laid out in this. If you do the digital zoom thing, you can on the other side. I never do that. You got your flash up at the top, but the layout is really smooth. I'll go ahead and take a quick picture and see how fast it takes here. The slowness is definitely my phone.
That wasn't too bad.
No, but it wasn't too bad, actually. And it actually, in comparison to the stock, it was actually much quicker. You've got a pull-up drawer down here that kind of gives you your options. The thing I really like about this, and probably one of the main reasons that I continue to use it, is this screen shutter mode, which I have activated, which essentially allows me to click on an item, it autofocuses and takes immediately. So I don't have to know where the virtual button is in order to click it. A lot of the camera apps, they require you to hit the little take picture button, and a lot of times that just ends up not being that great. They also have a MIUI, I'm so used to saying MIUI, MIUI gallery app, which is decent. I don't know if I have it installed. I think I just have my regular gallery. I opt for the regular gallery link to it, but it's a good kind of mimicking of the Sense Gallery as well. So if you're a fan of the Sense Gallery, check that out. I wish I would have thought to install it, but I think it runs a little bit slower on my Motorola Droid anyways. But I mean, you know, there's nothing in this app that's really going to make you go, wow, that's amazing. I love it because it's simple and it's just a good, fun-to-use camera app. It has a lot of those other features like anti-shake, burst if you want to take multiple pictures in a row. You can do little color effects if you want to add kind of tinting and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy that you can find in some of the really kind of amped up camera apps where they have all these, you know, a ton of different effects or anything like that. But it's got a little bit of those. I don't really use those a whole lot. You can do a delay snap if you want to have it kind of timed before it takes a picture. And just diving into the settings really quick, there isn't a whole lot here, but you can add kind of your reference lines if you like to follow the rule of thirds and everything like that. As I'm kind of like showing it right now, I'm kind of thinking to myself, all right, it doesn't really have a whole lot that other camera apps don't have. I just wanted to feature it because it's the one camera app that I keep coming back to. It's like simple enough, and the UI is good enough it doesn't have to be anything more than it is. See, but the thing, really nice.
With a camera app, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, you want it to take pictures easily and not and it to be simple and to be in a UI that you like to use. And
totally.
So that's great. I mean, I can't tell you how – I mean, the stock Android camera is
horrible.
Yeah, I would have been a little nicer, but it's not optimal. It's the, you know, I've actually been using Little Photo a lot more.
He uses
yeah.
the word hate.
Yeah,
it's with for
I
me.
I don't never hear pictures, Jason. Hard.
The thing for me is like taking pictures
hate.
Has to be a fun experience. Like to want to be to pull out your phone to take a picture with it.
If
that app sucks and it's just got that tiny little button that you've got to hunt for, just little things like that. Makes me not want to take pictures.
The new challenge for any phone app is to, can you hand it to a stranger in Disneyland and have them take a picture of you and your family?
Yeah, yeah right.
Without
that's the
having
challenge.
To say,
well, no, you
over
had it
here.
There.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
No, hold it.
That's
and
so
then
true.
When it, yeah. So I think that's, if you're an app developer out there, do the Disneyland test.
Never heard of the Disneyland test.
I just invented it.
But you can do the Disneyland test. Again, it's MIUI camera, MIUI camera. I'll have the link. It's at the xdadevelopers.com website. Can't find it in the market. Or you can use the QR code that's at the bottom of the screen.
There Very nice.
Cool.
I'm going to install that.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I guess my app is next. And it's an oldie but goodie, but something that I actually use all the time. It's called Read It Later. And it's for those of you who are like me, kind of a hoarder, just don't have time. It's, you know, instead of favoriting or starring on Twitter or whatever reader that you're using, you could save it to read it later, which kind of aggregates all your news or content, whatever that you just don't have time for. You could read it later. I love the name. Okay, so there is an Android app that came out in March, and I'm going to show you the pro version. There is a free version if you want to just try it out and you don't want to, you know, sort of commit yet. But the pro version includes a lot more. For example, you can read your entire list. There's no limits. You'll have limits in the free version. You could search your list. You could sort your list. You could see what you're currently reading. Rotation. You can lock your rotation. You could use the volume button for rocker scrolling. And you could tag. Can't do any of that on the free. Here's how I do. So here's the app. Here's my reading list. One thing to note is that once you load your article into Read It Later, you can read it offline. You don't need Wi-Fi. You don't need 3G. Perfect. If you're stuck in a train, awesome. You can, send it. You could look at it as just the text itself, or you could look at it, you know, mobily, what it looks like. Mobile, how fast mobile that was. Web. Yep.
Mobile.
What I do a lot of times is I use Pulse to read my news. So, okay, let's see. Google Wallet. Oh, Hanging with Friends is now available. That's new. Thanks, Phil Nickinson. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to save that. I go into the Share tab. There it is, Read It Later. That's going to show up in my Read It Later. Hanging with Friends now. Can you see that happening? Now it's yep. there really fast, and I could read that later. There's lots of settings. Oh, I left it on the website. It's actually faster if you just leave it on text. But and I like to give the you can give the option to show the photo all the time or not show the photo. I like to see the photo. I like to see the original photo. But there it is. You can read it offline. There's tons of settings, tons of editing. Let's see here. Under more options, you could store the cache on the SD card. You could elect to download only on Wi-Fi. Again, the volume rocker scrolling. You could exclude tagged items. I don't know why I always want to see my tagged items or have the tagged items available. There's background syncing. Let's see here. And I don't know. I mean, I just think it's handy. I use Read It Later all the time for news for the show.
Yeah, so
and
do I.
It's just really handy. I think I name everything Android. Sometimes I name it Google TV or something. So there's not much more to see, but you could filter there. You could filter by URL, title, or tag. It is an app I use all the time, and you can actually multiple marks, mark red. It's very handy, and I do suggest to get the $2.99 pro version if you really like Read It Later. And but try it out for free if you want, just to see if you even want to use a service like this. But it's just really handy, especially if you're on the go and you just don't have a lot of time to read articles. But it's just great for offline reading.
Yeah, I mean, I
think it's optimized for tablets too. So. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, Instapaper was one that kind of pioneered this whole space.
Exactly.
But Read It Later has come on way strong, and the app is beautiful.
Yeah, and you can go to the website and see all the things, like from your desktop if you want to. But they also have a beta going on a new version of the website. So when you went before, it was like you're seeing it on your desktop, but you're seeing the mobile view of it, so it wasn't fitting very well.
Right.
And they've got a beta that you can opt into that is totally cool to work with on the desktop. I used it this morning. Cool.
And there's tons of extensions, and tons of apps have it already embedded into their apps. So, I don't know. That's my suggestion week.
That's a good one. It's going to be a tight race. It's going to be good. There's two good apps. Well, my application, actually, surprisingly enough, I picked it before we started doing the show, but then we got an email that was very had a lot of contextual value. So I'm going to read that email first and then go into my app. This email's come from Harjinda. I apologize if I mispronounce your name. But Harjinda says, I've been listening to All About Android since I had an iPhone, and then you guys convinced me to buy an Android.
Wow.
it's a lot of pressure.
I know.
Anyways, I have a very big problem. It's a very big problem. I've deleted some conversations from text messages, and I do not know how to get them back from my Samsung Galaxy S from Verizon. I called Verizon. They said I would need a court order for that.
Oh, my God.
Please help me. Is there an app or program I can download or anything else I can do to get my text messages back? Please let me know if this can be done or cannot be done. So now, unfortunately, you're pretty much SOL.
I'm pretty sure you're out of luck.
Yeah, once they're gone, they're gone. Verizon saying you get a court order. That's a little fishy as well because it's just data, mm-hmm. unless the messages on Verizon are being stored in their server for some reason.
Right.
But you can get a record of where you sent text to, but the data itself was on your phone, and once you delete them, it's gone. So Herjinda, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get them back. That's my instinct. But you can learn from this experience and utilize the application I'm going to talk about here, which is called SMS to Text. It's free in the Android marketplace, and there's also a paid version, a pro version, that is 96 cents, which is a pretty good deal. And basically what it is it's a SMS text message backup service. For me, I'm a bit of a digital hoarder, I'll admit. I have every email that I've sent or received since 1995.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot. You don't delete?
No, I save everything.
Man, why?
There was a time when email wasn't unlimited, and
and I have CDs of like 1996.
Seriously?
Yeah, exactly. I just blew your mind with
I'm freaking out here. Cal has a gun in the chat room. Says me too.
Yeah,
wow. Just
yeah.
like you.
I think it boils down to if you're an old school user. I mean, like this is before the cloud. This is before IMAP. This is like it was. I had a pop.
But there's
three, and it downloaded locally. And
right. Yeah.
I guess I think there's some emails out there that I just don't really want to see anymore. Or like if it's.
But it's a cool little time capsule, too.
Oh, it's a fantastic time capsule.
I guess so,
Literally, like, I found, I mean, for those who know, I do a website called iFanboy, and I have the first email one of my co-founders from iFanboy sent me in 1997 asking, we were in a class together, and he asked me if he could borrow a tape of a Simpsons episode that he heard me talking about, and he promised he'd give me a cookie if I gave it to him. And I wrote back, I said, you're speaking my language, I'll bring the tape to class. And that was the beginning of our friendship, and I have that email. I can look back on it.
Something like that's cool, but yeah. I'm thinking of, you know, J. Crew email to me. I'm not going to keep that.
Yeah, I do keep those. I don't really cherish those as much as I do the personal messages.
But you do keep them.
But anyway, we're getting distracted.
Yes.
So the time came when what happened for me was that I was upgrading and changing my phone, and I had all these text messages with people who were very close to me, near and dear to my heart, some great conversations that I just didn't want to lose. And I knew that once I switched phones, that would get lost to the ether. So I'm like, all right, let me find some way to – and again, I talk about it on the show all the time. A simple to use, elegantly designed, does its purpose well application, and that's SMS to text. So with this, what you can do is I've got it here on my phone. I don't know if we can show my phone. There we go. All right, cool. My big fat hands. So I've got it right here, and basically it's really simple, and what you can do – my phone needs to be cleaned. What you can do is you can filter by contact. So you can choose who you want to get your text messages from, right? I don't mind showing names. That's okay.
Oh, there we go.
Look at that. Hey. Yeah. Okay, cool. And actually, we're going to bump up the brightness as well. Bear with me for a moment. All right, cool.
There we go.
All right, so you can say what contacts do you want to get the text messages from. Okay, so you can pick who you want to get text messages from and who – you can save them all. You can just save from one person, you know, one specific person. So you choose what the filter is, and then you can filter whether or not you want to get both the incoming and outgoing messages or just the incoming messages or just the outgoing messages. I don't know why you just want the in or the out. I choose both because I want to see the conversation. And then you can choose the file type. And in this particular version, you can do text file or CSV. In the paid version, there's a lot more other formatting. So depending on whatever program you want to pull it into, it supports more versions. So now in here, my phone right now, it's got 17,439 text messages.
Oof.
But if I filter them, So
I don't text that much. Do you, Jason?
I text a lot. I would never want to go through that many.
Whoa.
Of my texts.
Everybody's freaking out in the chat room. Wow.
I'm just going to filter my buddy Joe, and that's 527 text messages. So I'm going to save all of our conversations. And so with one touch of the button, you can export the text file to the SD card. And you can name the file whatever you want, and it will export all of the text messages in that conversation to one text file.
Okay.
And
so you're saving all of these to your SD card already?
Yes.
I mean, it's all...
Technically, they're in the phone memory. They're not on the SD card themselves. Gotcha. So what I'm doing is I'm just saving a text file with all the conversation, and then now I can plug in my USB cable, go to the SD card, pull the text file out, put it with the rest of my emails, and now I've got an archive. Now, if you pay the 96 cents for the pro version, you can not only export the SD card, but there's an option to email yourself the file.
Oh, I like that.
So that makes it a lot – you don't have to worry about USB cables and dealing with the SD card.
Right.
Now, if I exported all 17,000 text messages, that's a very large file. It might take a while to email that, and you know I have a hard time sending emails with more of attachments more than 5 meg, but that's just me. But that is an option. So the pro version offers more options in file formats and more ways to get it off the phone.
Probably MMS, maybe?
No.
Because
that's kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what Leet Mob was wondering.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say anything about MMS, unfortunately.
Okay.
But so, yeah, in the pro version, you can output a TXT, CSV, an XLSX, or an HTML file. So it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the pro version eliminates the ads, but I don't mind the ad that much.
Yeah.
But so now I've got all my text messages backed up, and for me, as you can see, I text a lot. So what I've been doing is I've been backing it up, archiving, then wiping and starting from scratch.
Have you
opened up? Yeah, because you have to clear off that memory.
The file to see any of your messages or
sometimes here and there.
Sometimes,
yeah,
really?
I mean, it depends on the subject. I mean, yeah, there's some, you know, there are conversations with people that you might not have anymore that you want to reminisce or, you know, things like that. So it's a nice little
thing. Really,
nice,
yeah. He likes to reminisce on a lot of stuff. It's very touchy.
You know, yeah, you get a couple cocktails in you and you see, and you're like, I remember
you
that.
Remember that drunk night? That was hilarious. Yeah. I can blackmail that person.
But it's also very useful when someone, you know, like, they're like, no, you texted me. What's actually, what I find so interesting is that when we introduce a new communication method, the things that come along to it, which is, for example, there are so many times where I get addresses and like, where are you? Oh, where's your new apartment? Okay, I'm at 9th and whatever. And then I'm like, all right, I remember we texted about that. Where? And I'm scrolling through the text trying to find it, you know, because it used to be all in email. So now this is a way to get those files out. But either way, it's a good way to save space on your phone by that way you can delete your text file. You can delete your text messages and save up some space, but also save them. Also, if you're sentimental, to keep track of, you know, if you've got your, you know, text messages when you first met your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can keep those and remember those. Important information, various needs that you need. Legal, if you ever get subpoenaed, it's a good way to, although you might not want that.
Right.
You might not want that.
Work in the opposite direction.
Doing. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it's a very versatile app, and for free or 96 cents, it's totally worth the money. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
See, and I'm
great.
Glad the text, the chat room is with me, that I'm
they
not
are.
Crazy. As
no.
my digital hoarder, I'm not crazy in terms of my archiving of my communications.
No, I don't think that. I just thought, wow, that's a long time to do that. I mean, you know, I may be like, you know, like taxes every 7 years and then you purge kind of thing. But
oh, you're supposed to purge this?
Well,
I mean, especially
you can purge them. You don't have to, but it's like they don't track that.
Well, you know what did it for me, actually? And this is totally dorky, but in high school and early college, I went in the mid-90s, I went through a big the Beats, Kerouac, Ginsberg, all them. And at around that time, they've released all their books. And so they started releasing these books of the correspondences. Of the letter, like letters from Jack Kerouac to Allen Ginsberg when Kerouac was in San Francisco, Ginsberg was in New York, and they're talking about the frustrations of getting their books published and these fantastic intimate conversations. And I was like, you know, what if someone wants to do that book about me?
Yeah.
I haven't written a letter since 1989.
but you have text.
I'm writing lots of email and I'm writing lots of text.
That's true.
And so, you know, maybe I'll be famous someday and someone will want to do a book of Ron Richards' emails.
I mean, in a way, that's sort of your sentimentality. Like, I like to save all my photos. So, it's not all words, but, you know,
it's the same
concept, just different.
And this makes it really easy. You saw how easy it was. So easy.
Yeah.
So go
very
vote
easy.
For me.
Wow, that's
Harjinder, there you go. Now you've got the app. Now you won't lose anymore.
Archiving the text messages just never occurred to me.
I love it.
It never occurred to me to archive SMS. No, I don't think so. I mean, it's not for me. Honestly, my SMS list, like I delete conversations like pretty regularly.
I had to bump up the settings in Chomp to save like 5,000 messages because I was like, because it automatically deletes. And I was like, no, I needed that.
You have the opposite approach.
Wow. I go way, way back. Look at this.
But I understand the desire to archive. Believe me, like I have probably 2001 is where I have the point to where I have all the emails that I've ever written. You know,
see, so 2000,
kind of like taxes.
Right, you have
the last... The earliest one I have is December 2010. That was the last time I archived. So that's all on this phone.
All right.
You're going to need to archive that.
You better hurry.
I said to somebody, smooches.
Good to know. All right, so you can vote on these three apps. Again, that is MyUI Camera for Root, Read It Later Pro, I guess there's a free and a pro mm-hmm. version, and SMS to Text, which is free as well as a paid version. Go to bit.ly/poll26AAA. bit.ly/poll26AAA, and you can vote for one of your three or your pick of the three apps from this show and let us know. They're all very different. So I'm very curious to see how this turns out.
And really, I mean, it's neck and neck.
I know. early reports are in, and looks like Read It Later Pro is.
Oh, one from my, yeah, look at that. It's a real race here.
It's totally a race. And Read It Later Pro seems to be ahead of the track at this point.
I would like to. I would like to give a shout out to my hometown folks in New York who voted for SMS to Text. Thank you. My fellow New Yorkers, you know where it's at.
All right. So next week, we're going to be talking about note-taking apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've done task list apps, and I think a lot of times there's a little bit of kind of commonality between the two. There can be.
Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference. There's a huge difference between task listing and note mm-hmm. and a notepad app.
Like for sure. That, yeah. I can't say that I have a notepad app on my phone, so I'm really curious to do this because I want to kind of see yeah. what that difference is.
I have several. It's going to be very hard to pick.
Cool. Well, then yeah. I'll pick one that you don't. I'll pick whatever your first
loser
is.
The notepad. I mean, the notepad app. That is, and we're gonna talk about it next week. But that is like the first go to app I install on a new phone. Mm. I'm like, I need somewhere to quickly jot down notes.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't know why I've never, installed one on there. I think I use the note taking, the task app to kind of do that. So that'll be next week, and we have a guest, right?
We do. We have the CEO from Catch, one of the apps, and we'll put him in the arena.
He's going to be talking about.
Should I give him SpringPad?
I like the idea of throwing a guest right into the arena.
Yeah,
like,
sure. You know what? We're going to ask him about the app. It's the topic of the week.
Who
so
better to talk about an
exactly.
app?
Yeah, to someone, that's what they do.
Yeah,
I love
that's,
it.
That's
yeah.
what they do. Cool. Yeah. Cool. That's kind of it for this week. I don't know if we have much more to talk about.
A lot of stuff.
I think we have a lot more to talk about, but we don't have any more time to talk about it.
You don't want to hear from us anymore, right?
So, Ron, go ahead and plug away.
Yes, plug away. So you can find everything about me at about.me/RonXO, or you can find me at Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO, and you can check me out at ifanboy.com and graphically.com, my day jobs, if you like comic books, and we have apps for Android as well at graphically.com, so check it all out there. That's my world.
Nice. And Eileen.
Sweet. Well, you can find me on Twitter at EileenTV. Just do a search for me on Google Plus because I don't know what my plus whatever it is.
gplus.2/EileenTV.
See, I always forget that.
I can't remember.
That's about it. Or about.me/EileenRose. That's where you can find me.
All right. And I'm RayGun01 on Twitter and Jason Howell on Google Plus. And otherwise, that is it for All About Android this week. Thank you so much for watching, you guys. You can hit us up on voicemail, 347. Show AAA. You can send us an email, AAA at twit.tv. You can hit us up on Twitter, the show, at Android Show. You can find show notes for everything that we talked about, twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. So
five-ish to six-ish.
Yeah, right. Somewhere in there.
Seven.
All right, you guys. We'll see y'all next week. Take care.